away be lonely, and dark the shadows fall. I know where'er it leadeth, my Father planned it all. I sing through the sunshine, I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing, for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all. There may be sunshine tomorrow, shadows may break and flee, will be the way He chooses, the Father's plan for me. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I trust Him whatever befall. I sing, for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all.
Let's sing the last one, page 290. Here we go. A day of light and gladness, on which no shade will fall. This at last awaits me, my Father planned it all. Trust Him whatever befall. I sing, for I cannot be silent, my Father. I love that song. That's good, isn't it? Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 in your New Testament. Let's get into a little bit of the life of Christ tonight that I think is appropriate for the season in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, and we'll look here at the story of the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And we want to be, I don't think, here forever tonight. It won't be long, but just some thoughts on this great miracle tonight for hopefully our benefit. The Bible says in verse 11, and it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Dear Father, thank You for this miracle recorded for us in this passage of Your book. I pray that You'll help me tonight, give some thoughts on this that might be a blessing to everybody in attendance. Lord, might prick a little need in our heart tonight. Cause us to be have a thankful and grateful heart. Not, Lord, just during these days of Thanksgiving set aside on the calendar for this special time. But, Lord, may we live from day to day with a grateful heart. And may we live what this lesson teaches us tonight. And I'll thank You for it. Give me Your help and blessing. And give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. In Jesus' name and amen. This miracle is only recorded in the Gospel of Luke. It is not found in any of the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. Now, more than likely, the village that Jesus entered, He was on His way to Jerusalem. And more than likely, the village that He entered was in the area of Galilee. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And I imagine it would be highly unusual for there to be 9 Jews, even Jews with leprosy, living in Samaria or outside the city of a village, outside the village of in the area of Samaria. So we're going to assume that this takes place in the area that is known as Galilee. And we're going to let me give you about 5 or 6 thoughts from this miracle tonight, this passage of Scripture. Number one, these 10 men were united by a common problem. They were united by a common problem. Look at verse number 12 again. The Bible says, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers. Now, the dreaded disease of leprosy brought these men together. And we don't have as much problem with leprosy, especially here in the States, as they did back in these days and as they still do in some parts of the world. When I went to Rick Martin's ministry back in 1997, I think it was, and was Brother Rick, Brother Heidenreich, and those men, we visited the leper colony outside of Iloilo City. And Brother Martin has a ministry there to those lepers. And as you would imagine, many of them had no fingers. Some of them didn't have nose, some didn't have ears, some of them didn't have legs or feet, because that's what leprosy does. It eats away your body. And but not as common in America today as it was back in Bible days. But this dreaded disease of leprosy brought these men together. All national barriers were abandoned because of the disease. Jews and Samaritans, who would never, if they were well, healthy, they would never mix together. Remember that the Jews never even set foot on Samaritan soil, and if they did, they knocked the soil off the bottom of their shoes. The Samaritans were dogs. All right? So that's how they viewed them. But if they had been healthy and well, they would never have mixed together. But here were men who had a common bond because they were in a bad condition. Now listen very carefully. We always talk about the ground at the foot of the cross being level. And I'm glad it is. I'm glad that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. But brother, understand, there is a leveler that puts all people in the same need of the cross, and that great leveler is sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason the ground is level at the foot of the cross is because we're all in the same bondage. We're all in the same boat. Acts 17:26 says this, "And hath made," talking about God, "hath made of one blood all nations of men." You see, there is one source for the blood of all men, and that source is Adam. And because He is the source of blood for all mankind, when I'm using the word men here tonight, I'm talking about men, women, boys and girls, any age person, any gender, okay, any of the two genders. I'm talking about one blood. Because Adam is the source of all, for all mankind, the source of blood for all of mankind, all men's blood is as Adam's was. And how was Adam's blood? It was sinful blood. It was tainted blood because of the disobedience in the garden. Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." I use that verse when I'm out soul winning. I'm trying to tell the person. When I get to Romans 3:10, 3:23, I usually say, "For there's none righteous, no, not one. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I usually say, "I've never met anybody who told me I'm not a sinner." Nobody's ever told me that in 30 years of trying to be a soul winner. But I have had people tell me I'm not that bad a sinner. And I go on to show them that we're not sinners because of what we do. We're sinners because of what we are by nature. And the reason we're that way is because of our bloodline. And I go to Romans 5:12 and show them that "wherefore as by one man," that one man is Adam, because of Adam, "sin entered into the world and death by sin." And so now all mankind, because we get our blood from Adam, we're all tainted. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. We're all under the same bondage. Romans 5:19, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." People say, "Well, I thought we all descended from either Shem, Ham, or Japheth." Well, where'd they get their blood? From Noah. Where'd he get his blood? From his father. We all got our blood from Adam. Amen? All of us. That puts us all in the same boat. You see, as Americans, we might have abundantly more material possessions than those in other countries do. But you know what that means, folks? It just means that we're rich sinners and they're poor sinners. That's what it means. We might have a longer life expectancy in this country than others in other countries that don't have the health opportunities that we have. You know what that means? That just means that we're healthy sinners and they're unhealthy sinners. Now, I'm not anti-American. I'm pro-American. That's one of the things I'm thankful for. Thank God for it this morning. I thank God for our country. Today was the 42nd anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy. That is the first, November 22nd, 1963. That's the first national event that I can recall as a little boy. I was 7 years of age. I remember my mother, I was in school in Georgia. I remember my mother, they just closed school down. And my mother came to pick us up, and the tears were rolling down her cheeks. I didn't know what was going on. My mother was not a Democrat. Everybody down south was a Democrat. But in the 1960 election, they broke with the Democratic Party and voted for Richard Nixon because they didn't want to vote for a Catholic. My mom and dad, they voted for Richard Nixon against John Kennedy. And John Kennedy, from all that we read and read, know and read about him, he wasn't a very good person as far as morals and all that. But he was the president of the United States, and that was a horrible, horrible incident. I can remember for the next few days sitting in front of my grandmother's black and white Philco television. Remember Philco? Gone by the wayside, I guess. And watching the funeral of John Kennedy. The horse-drawn carriage and going through the rotunda. And I didn't watch it. It was nonstop coverage for days and days and days and days and days there. And all that going on. I remember seeing and hearing about Lee Harvey Oswald being assassinated by Jack Ruby. And I was thinking about that. That was a tremendous blow to our country. But America, because of its form of government and its people, there was no riots, there was no looting, there was no shooting and running around. This thing just went right on, just right on. That's quite a nation, isn't it? God's been good to us. But just because because we're Americans, we have more conveniences and modern luxuries than others, but that just means we're spoiled sinners and they're unspoiled sinners. That's what it means, folks. And I'm not anti-American. I'm simply saying all mankind. Look, we can't look at ourselves as anything more than just the same type sinner that lives in Africa, the same type sinner that lives in the Philippines, the same type sinner that lives in Australia. He hath made of one blood. Hath made of one blood all nations of men. There's one source for blood. That source is Adam. All mankind is united by a common bond, a common problem, and that problem is a sin nature. Everybody. All around the world. So these 10 men were united by a common problem. Number two, going on in verse number 12 here, I want you to notice these 10 men were separated because of their disease. The Bible says at the end of verse number 12, which stood afar off. Now, if you know the Bible, you understand that. Being in a Jewish country, they still practiced the principles of the Old Testament law. And the law demanded that lepers separate from all others while they were stricken with their leprosy. This was because leprosy was highly contagious. It's why they still put them in leper colonies today in countries where they still have a problem with the disease. Philippines, India, places like that. Highly contagious. If anyone approached them, they had to place a cloth over their mouth and they had to cry out loudly, unclean, unclean, because the disease was so contagious. They had to be kept from other people. They had to be separated. They were separated from wives. They were separated from children, husbands. They were separated in some case from children. They could not work their jobs. In this case, these men could not work their jobs or visit the marketplace. They were outcast because of the disease that they all shared. I remember when I was working at Ramsey's Supermarket as a teenager, and one night the store stayed open till 9 o'clock. And boy, oh boy, I try not to do this because I know what it feels like to be on the other end of the stick. You know, you stay open till 9 o'clock, and here comes a lady at 9:06. She got a grocery list a mile long, and you're going to stay open. And they take their time and waltz through the aisles and take things off the shelf and read the ingredients and then put it back up here. This lady came in one night about 9:06. And that meant we stayed, and she was there. She had 2 or 3, 4 huge grocery carts full of groceries. Unbelievable. And I was pretty new at the time. And they called me to the front when it was time to bag the groceries, and I was out in the back doing some things. I came up to the front, and I was bagging the groceries. She was standing there, cashier here, and the things were coming down. Back in the days when you had somebody bag your groceries for you and put them in the cart and took them to the car and opened your car door and put the bags in the car for you. Oh, yeah. I did that. Had to put them in the car, in the trunk. Yeah. And then stood there with it for a tip, you know, waiting around, you know. Christmas was always good. Christmas was real good, especially if they were a little bit inebriated. Happy holiday. Here, thank you. That happened a few times. Oh, my goodness. But I was standing there, and I noticed her, looked at her, and I thought, my soul. She had dark glasses on, and I was looking. She was standing, she was standing sideways, and I could see behind those great, great big globs. I hate the of stuff running out of her eyes, and her nose was half eaten away, and her fingers were down to here. And it was repulsive. It was repulsive. It really made me physically ill. Nauseated to my stomach. And when it was all said and done, I said to Mr. Ramsey, whoever was there, I said, "What in the world?" He said, "That lady has leprosy." That was in Cliftondale, Georgia, back in 72, 73, 74, that time. It was repulsive, folks. They were outcasts. That's why she came at 6 minutes till nine. That's why she came when nobody else was in the store. It was pathetic. It was pitiful. Sin separates us from people we love. Now, tonight we sit in this comfortable auditorium on comfortable pews. We get in a comfortable car to drive home in a little bit to a comfortable house. But folks, not everybody's living like this tonight. Tonight, a man sleeps in a despicable, filthy one-room motel, far from wife and children and the comforts of home because of alcohol. He's separated. Tonight, a woman stands on a cold, dark street corner, foolishly and wickedly soliciting men to whom she can sell her body for a few dollars, far from the comforts of family and love and feeling like trash because of sin. She's separated. Tonight, somewhere, there's in a distant place, a teenager sleeps under an overpass using a cardboard refrigerator box for shelter from the wind. He has no money, no friends, no food, and no comfort because of a cocaine habit. He's separated. Some of you boys and girls that have grown up from the time that you were in a nursery in a Christian home need to understand there's another side of the tracks. There's another side of life that, thank God, you've been kept from. And unless you're enticed to get involved in it, you better understand, brother, sin separates. Tonight, two or three little children go to bed in a strange place after eating some cookies and drinking some milk. They do not say, "Good night, Daddy." They do not say, "Good night, Mommy," because Dad and Mom have abandoned them because of the pursuit of the lust of the flesh. They're separated. Separated. A worried Dad and Mom go to bed and uselessly attempt to fall asleep, tossing and turning, wondering where their son or daughter is spending the night. Their child left in a rebellious rage and has not been heard from since. They've called the police and there are no signs of that person where they might be. That's life. That's life in America. See, what is the cause of all that? It's sin. Now, these stories never appear on commercials. These stories never appear on billboards advertising the products of alcohol and tobacco and television shows and movie theaters that show promiscuous films and shows. These kind of stories never appear on the advertisements of those products, but they are true pictures of what sin does when it runs its course. It separates. Sin separates. They stood afar off. Remember that. If you're ever tempted to go away from what you've been taught, how you've been reared, to go out of the path in which you've been trained to walk, remember that sin has consequences, and one of the consequences is separation from people you love. Because it is true. Number three, I want to say tonight about these 10 men. These 10 men were cleansed after they appealed to the mercy of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13 and 14. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." They immediately cried out to Jesus when they saw him for mercy. I like that. Have mercy. You see, there was nothing, listen, there was nothing to appeal for based on their merit. Are you listening tonight? They didn't bring their list of accomplishments to Christ and say, "Help me, look what I've done. Look where I've been. Look how much I've given. Look how faithful." They didn't come on any basis of their own merit. The plea that they made was based on the mercy of Jesus Christ. And the plea for mercy always seems to get the Lord's attention. I like that. Look at the next chapter in your Bible, Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. Here's a little parable Jesus told along the same lines. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I'm not like this fellow over here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, the Pharisee attempted to list all the reasons why God should hear his prayer. And you know what those reasons were based on? His merit. Look at what I am not. Look at what I am. Look at what I have done. I got all these reasons. Lord, have you seen this list of things here? Aren't you impressed? Look what happens to the publican. Verse number 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And look at the next phrase, next verse. I tell you, this man went down to his house, the publican, justified rather than the other. Why? Because I tell you why. He came to Christ on the basis of the mercy of God instead of his own merit. Own merit never gets God's attention. Mercy always gets God's attention. Brother, I tell you, I love the mercy of God. It is no coincidence that 11 times in your Bible there are verses that talk about giving thanks to God for His mercy. 1 Chronicles 16:34, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Chapter 16, verse 41, Give thanks to the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever. Ezra 3:11, Giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now listen to these. Psalm 106:1, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. 107:1, ditto. 118:1, ditto. 118:29, ditto. 136:1, ditto. 136:2, Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 26, Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Do you kind of get the idea, folks, that we ought to have a little thankfulness in our heart for God's mercy? That's how He saved us. That's how He came to us. That's how He hears us. That's how He answers our prayers. That's how He works in our life. It's never according to our merit. It's always according to God's mercy. Don't ever get on your knees and start giving God the laundry list of your accomplishments. And say, now, Lord, because of all this, God, I tithe and I do this and I do this. And now you say, well, if we're obedient, can't we expect the blessings of God? According to His Word, we can. But I never want to go to God on that basis. I always want to go to God on the basis of, Lord, if You do this for me, it's only because of Your mercy. Amen? Mercy. If there's anything under heaven for which we ought to be thankful, it is the mercy of God. And that mercy endures forever. Brother, listen to me. Men have never had any reason to approach God based on their merit. But God has always had a place for men who approach Him based on His mercy. Always has. Always has. I'm talking about for salvation and anything after salvation. Brother, you go to God on behalf of, on the basis of His mercy. Lord, I don't deserve anything. Anything I get outside of hell is a benefit of Your mercy. And I thank You for Your mercy. Number 4, moving on here, verse number 15 and 16. We've been talking about 10 men. Now we're going to talk about one man. 10 men met Jesus. 10 men stood afar off. 10 men had a common bond. 10 men appealed to Jesus on the basis of His mercy. One man returned to give God the glory and the thanks. One man. Verse 15, and one of them. when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Here they go. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Again, that's Old Testament law. They had to go show themselves to the priest. The priest had to examine them. The priest was the one that had to pronounce them clean. They could not enter back into society. They couldn't go to the marketplace, return to their jobs, their homes, until the priest pronounced them clean. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. All 10 men were took off, and all 10 men realized their bodies were made whole. All of them came to that realization. Through what, folks? Through their physical senses. I mean, but they could see their leprosy. They could feel their leprosy. They could touch their leprosy. And as they're on their way going to the priest, all of a sudden, through their physical senses, all 10 of them realize it's gone. I mean, if I had it 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, 45 years, didn't matter. It's gone. Not partially, but entirely. Immediately, it's gone. All of them recognized that through their physical senses. You see, their senses were alike, but their hearts were not. Because only one had a heart of gratitude. Only one was thankful. One. And I have to ask myself a question. Is this a picture of the whole of mankind? Do only 10% of us possess a thankful heart? Is there really only 1 in 10 who realizes the greatness of what God has done for us? That's sad, isn't it? I'll tell you what, men howl and cry to God when in desperate need and then run on their way, never giving a second thought when they're made well. And I'm not talking about just physical wellness. I'm talking about sometimes it might be financial help. It might be help in a marriage relationship. It might be help with a child. You might see a child who is starting to wander away. All of a sudden, God arrests their attention, draws them back in, and they're back on track. And they prayed and wept and cried to God, oh, God, please, oh, God, please. And as soon as that child turned, we run on our way rejoicing at what's happened, never once stopping to, hey, somebody's responsible for this. Somebody turned my son around. Somebody turned my daughter around. Somebody helped our relationship. Somebody healed my physical problem. Somebody helped me with the job. Somebody helped me with some work. Somebody's responsible for all this. I begged and prayed and cried and howled to God, oh, help. And then God does, and we run our way. Enjoying with all of our physical senses everything that God has done, and not one time stopping with a generous heart to go back on our face and our knees and say, boy, Lord, You're responsible for this. Thank You. Is this a picture of the whole of mankind? Brother, if there's only 1 in 10, I want to be in that 10%. Don't you? I'll guarantee it. And brother, when we pray and ask God on the basis of His mercy for Him to do for us, and He does. Oh, my goodness, the temptation to just run and enjoy what God has done is so great. Friend, remind yourself, find that place on your knees, on your face, at the feet of Christ, giving Him the glory and the thanks for everything. Brother, if you can remember, if you were old enough to remember the day of your salvation, when that anniversary rolls around, never let that pass without a lot of thanksgiving in your heart going up to God. Now, I mean on a daily basis too, but especially on the day of your salvation. You may not remember the very day. Maybe you remember the time, the place, the month. And when it comes around to that time of the year, I hope you'll be mindful to be thankful for all that God has blessed you with when He saved your soul. We don't want to be in that 90% that just runs on and enjoys all the blessings, physically sees it, experiences it, but goes on with an ungrateful heart. Only one return. Let me show you number 5 quickly tonight. Jesus remembers His acts of mercy and expects us to as well. This is interesting. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answering said, so here comes this man, the Samaritan, falls at His feet with a loud voice. A loud voice. Don't get upset if you're in church on Sunday morning and some brother goes, amen, real loud. That should not upset you. Glory to God. That should not upset you. I don't like loud. What are you going to do in heaven? Revelation 4 and 5 says they're going to fall down. They're going to praise Him with a loud voice. But He couldn't help it. He got loud. People get loud about what they get excited about. Now look here. He's on His feet. Jesus answering verse 17 said, I like this. I don't notice what Jesus did not say. How long were you a leper? How bad was your leprosy? See, He didn't remind him about his sin, his leprosy. He didn't bring up his leprosy. Jesus brought up the cleansing. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now watch it, folks. See, another attribute of our Savior is that He chooses not to remember our sins and iniquities. Isn't that wonderful? How wonderful that our sins are not only forgiven, but forgotten as well. They're forgiven and forgotten forever. There's a song like that. Forgiven, forgotten forever. Great song. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Buried them in the deepest sea. He remembers them no more against us. But you know what He does remember? He does remember His acts of mercy. I healed 10. Where are the 9? How long were you a leper? How bad was your disease? How many fingers had you lost? Was your nose gone? Where did you get your... Wasn't even mentioned. But Jesus did mention, boy, I did clean you. What's the point, Pastor? I'm telling you this. How many times did God ask the children of Israel if they remembered the mercy shown them at the Red Sea? Remember that? Remember how many times He took them back to the Red Sea? Remember that? Was that an act of mercy? How many times did God say, remember when I fed you with manna from heaven? How many times did God say, remember how I gave you drink with water from the rock? Remember how I protected you with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night in the wilderness? Remember the table I prepared for you in the wilderness? Remember the victories over kings Og and Bashan? Remember the conquest of the land of Canaan? You see, over and over again, God reminded His people about His mercy. He wants us to be mindful of His mercy. We don't have to come to God and remind Him about what we were, how we acted, what we said, what we used to be. He's forgotten all that. But He would like for us to say, Lord, I remember when You saved me. I remember when You taught me from Your Word. I remember when You gave me my husband. I remember when You gave me my wife. I remember when You gave me those healthy kids. I remember when You gave me that job. I remember. I remember. I remember. Because He remembers His acts of mercy, and He expects us to as well. Are you listening tonight, folks? Huh? You see, we shout glory to God. God doesn't remember our sins. He forgets all of our sins. Glory to God. He forgets that I was a sinner. We should be shouting as well. Glory to God. He saved me. He cleaned me. He washed me. He justified me. He sanctified me. He gave me His Word. He gave me His Spirit. He's preparing a mansion for me in glory. He answered my prayer. Thank You, God, for all those acts of mercy. Yeah. He remembers those acts of mercy and expects us to as well. That's why it's important for us. Not just salvation, but every good thing. You know, fellas, do you thank God every morning for your wife? Do you thank God every morning for your husband, ladies? Do you thank Him for the children? Is that at the top of your prayer list up there? Going down through that thing when you have that outline of prayers, there a place in there for you to be thankful for all God's mercies? Aren't you glad God doesn't expect us to come and say, Lord, You remember what I was like when I was 15? I was unsaved. I went to that rock concert. God, You remember that? Oh, no. Oh. Amen. And you should forget it, too. And forget the things that make you mindful of it, too. But I don't think the Lord minds us saying, Lord, I remember when You convicted me. I remember when You drew me. remember when you saved me. I remember when you changed that in me. I remember when you changed this. I remember when you showed me who I was going to marry. I remember when you called me to preach. I remember when you showed me what I was going to do with my life. I remember when you gave me a job. Lord, I remember all that. I think that's music to His ears. Because what is that, folks? That's a sign of a grateful heart. You know how important the sign of a grateful heart is? It'll keep you out of horrendous sin. All you got to do is read Romans chapter 1. Anyway, number 6, I want to get off on that. Let me finish. Look very carefully. Those with the least oftentimes are the most thankful. Verse 18. Look what Jesus said. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that this guy was a what? Samaritan. The others were Jews. You see, the more cause we have to be thankful to God, listen, the more bound we are to express that thanks. Those 9 Jewish men had far greater reason to be thankful just because they were Jews. They could now return to their homes, their synagogues, their friends, and their vocations. Who knows what the Samaritan was going back to? What did he have? He's a Samaritan. These Jews had it all. And because they had it all and could go back to that all, they should have been far more thankful. But the man with the very least was the most thankful. I saw the most interesting little blurb in the Chicago Sunday Tribune. Maybe some of you saw it. They did a little study on the 50 states in America, which states were the most generous and which states were the least generous. Now, I think they computed things like people giving to United Way and Salvation Army and all that stuff. You know what states were at the top of the most generous? Number 1, Mississippi. Now, come on, folks. What do you know about Mississippi? Poor. Number 2, Arkansas. You ever been to Arkansas? I was there. Oh, my soul. Stuck up in little trailers on mountaintops. I mean, shooting animals, not for the fun of hunting, but to live. Poor. And 2 other southern states. You know who the least generous were? Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, all those northeastern states. But that part of the country where the big money is. Huh? Least generous. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This goes to show you the more you get, the harder it is to give. It just is. It seems like it's easy to give when all you got's 5. That's all I got, so what? Huh? But you got 500 and it's, I don't know. Got to be careful, you know. I didn't get many amens, but that's amazing. I looked at that in the paper and I thought, I can't believe that. Well, the Samaritan had the least. And because of that, he was the most thankful. Reminds me of that story. Brother Brown almost called him tonight. He told it. I cannot remember for the life of me. I cannot remember who the preacher was. I can't remember if it was Brother Bobby, his pastor down in North Carolina, Brother Bobby Robertson, or somebody else that he knows. But there was an evangelist that was preaching in a church in the hills of North Carolina, Virginia. Boy, there's some poor folks in those parts of the country. Now, poor is relative in America. You understand that. But poor by our standards. And said the preacher said to the evangelist during one of the days, hey, look, we don't have a busy schedule today. Let's run up. I wanted to visit a family up in the hills. So they got in their car and they went as far as the road would take them. This preacher and this evangelist, they got out. They went up a little path, crossed a creek, continued up the road to the house, came upon this little old shack. Now, I've seen those places. My grandmother grew up in one outside Cookeville, Tennessee. A shack where the snow blew through the cracks in the wintertime. A shack. Said a plain woman, gray-haired, head in a bun. Plain old woman came to the door. Oh, Pastor, I'm so glad you've come to visit us and brought the guest preacher with us too. Come on and wait right here in the front yard. Said my husband, I forget his name, said he's down at the creek getting us some water. He'll be back in just a few minutes. Just sit down, rest for a minute. I know you had to walk a ways to get here. So the preacher and the evangelist sat down. Sure enough, after a few minutes, here came her husband, hauling two buckets full of water, huffing and puffing. And he saw the old pastor. Glad you came to visit us, man. Breathing hard. Said, I just went down to the creek to get some water and fresh water. And they talked for a little bit. He said, Pastor, he said, I got to show you what God did for us. He said, you need to see what God did for us. You won't believe what God did for us. And this guy's serious as a heart attack, folks. He said, come in. They took him into walked the pastor and that evangelist into this shack. I mean, just simple, nothing. Little old tin basin, little tin, you've seen them, little tin thing for a sink with a gravity-fed thing for water to come down. And said above that was a peach crate nailed to the wall. He said, Pastor, the other day I was down at the road, truck whipped by, and this empty peach crate fell off the back of the truck. He said, my wife's had to keep those dishes on the floor down there stacked under that sink all these years. He said, I've always wanted to have something she could put those dishes in. So I took that peach crate home and hung it up on the wall, Pastor. And now she can stack those dishes in there. She don't have to bend down and put them under that sink on the floor anymore. Isn't God good? That evangelist was so convicted. He went back to that church. He preached the last couple of nights. When he went home, he said he walked into his house, walked into his kitchen, put his hands on his refrigerator, kneeled down beside his refrigerator, said, oh God, I thank you for this. Keeps our food cold and fresh. I thank you for this. Said he went over, tears rolling down his face, got down on his knees beside his stove and said, oh God, I thank you for this stove. He went to his kitchen table. He went to every appliance. He went to every piece of furniture and every room in that house and got down on his knees beside all of them and said, oh God, I thank you. You know what he didn't want, folks? He had the most. But he wanted the heart of that man that had the least. And that's a true story. And here was a man who had the least. He was the most thankful. What a good time of the year to look around your house. And by the way, while you're looking at appliances and furniture and vehicles, don't forget that living, breathing body that sits at the head of the table. Your husband. And your wife. And your children. Huh? I always think about this time of the year. I think about Mary Miracle. The first major holiday without her husband. I thought about that. First major holiday without her husband. I thought about Toby. His mother's only been gone 2 weeks. First major holiday, mom was always there. Husband always there. But we're so loaded, folks. We're so loaded, we're too loaded. We're so overwhelmed with blessings, we don't know where to begin. And because we've got so much, sometimes that makes us the least thankful. And the person that has the least ends up having the greatest heart. I don't want to be in that 90%. I want to stay in that 10%. If I hadn't been there, I want to get there. Amen. Let's bow our heads of prayer together. Thank you for listening. Dear Father, speak to our hearts tonight from this Bible study on this great miracle that your Son wrought on earth. Help us to be thankful. Of course, it's the season of Thanksgiving and our minds are on it. But I pray, Lord, we would live year-round with a thankful heart. Thank you for the lessons we learned from this story tonight. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. Let me ask this question tonight. Who would say, Pastor Angel, if I have a problem like all people do, and my problem is sin, and if I die in my sin and be separated from God forever, because sin separates and eventually it separates for eternity from God and good and heaven. You say to yourself, I don't want to die and be separated in my sin. I don't want to be without Christ. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't know where I'm going when I die. Would you lift your hand, please? Let me pray for you tonight. Put it right up. Put it right back down. I'll pray for you tonight. Anybody here on this Wednesday night like that? Member, visitor, boy or girl, man, it doesn't matter. Anybody. All right, let's be thankful, folks. And let's work at it. And let's remember to be thankful for God's mercies. He expects us to. Thank God we don't have to go to Him and rehearse our old sin. But He would like for us to remember His mercy. And let's be thankful. We've got the most. You know we do. Let's be the most thankful. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies and gentlemen, the invitation. Would you come? The Lord spoke to your heart this morning.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And thank you, Lord, for making